The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 21st of August, 2019. On the podcast today, I have John Mayer, who's a mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. And John talks about Trump buying Greenland, gold, copper, and the following companies: Ark Minerals, Keras Resources, and Iron Ridge Resources. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you. Very important lists, these are. Absolutely. They are the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, if you want to see top 10 versions of both these lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk, our front page there, and you can check out lots of other content, material, podcasts, videos, etc. Check it out, voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John?
Yes, good, thank you.
As I speak right now, I'm looking at my portfolio, and there's very few movers. I mean, it's volatile last week and start this week quite good, but it seems to be calm before the storm or whatever. I don't know what's happening here. But there's lots of stuff happening on the macro front, isn't it? And we just talked about then. First of all, there's three sort of stories that are playing into in your field. And the one is very interesting. I mean, Donald Trump today has cancelled a state visit to Denmark after the nation's prime minister said the Greenland was not for sale to the US. So what's behind this? Well, first of all, why does Trump want to buy Greenland, or why does the US want to buy Greenland?
Well, look, Trump is a real estate man, but at the same time, the Chinese were looking to get involved with, I believe, three airport construction stroke refurbishment projects in Greenland. And some of that, I think, was getting quite close to U.S. air bases, U.S. national interests. The Americans really don't want China on their doorstep because Greenland is so close to Canada, North America, and the United States. And of course, that is sort of within their missile defense shield. So you absolutely don't want a communist power developing bases, developing a commercial and economic interests on Greenland. And let's not forget the future value of mineral resources in Greenland is probably huge, and definitely something that a superpower like the United States is going to want to be involved in. At the same time, a superpower like China is also looking to be involved in some of those mineral resources. And for example, a Chinese company has a stake in one or more of the rare earth project companies in Greenland. So there's quite a lot to play for, actually.
Yeah, so it's strategic and commercial, commercially interesting, isn't it, really?
It certainly is. I mean, we follow Blue Jay Mining, which we think is a very exciting stock. But at the same time, there's lots more to be discovered. I mean, there's a number of rare earth project companies in Greenland. At the moment, the two main ones are stalled. One's got a lot of uranium in it, and the other one is private and has upset the Greenlanders sufficiently for them to continue to say no to it. But sooner or later, somebody's going to say, let's mine one or more of these deposits and we produce our rare earths outside China.
Yeah. It's nuts, just the concept of buying an island like that. You know? It's just nuts. And I don't know if you saw that tweet. I thought it was a spoof account. But Trump tweeted out, and I retweeted it, and he said, I promise not to do this to Greenland. And basically, you see a very barren sort of coastal area of Greenland with a couple of small little houses, almost look like these kind of houses that look almost temporary, you know? And so it's a very barren area. And in the middle of it is like a 50-story gold Trump Tower. He said, I promise not to do this to Greenland. And so I thought it was a parody account, but he actually tweeted that. But it's very odd. But below, it said apparently, you know, loads of natural resources, zinc, coal, copper, iron ore. But also, it relies on Denmark for 2/3 of its budget. It has high rates of suicide, alcoholism, and unemployment. And I suppose, yeah, because most of the time of the year, it's dark and cold, isn't it?
Well, on a Friday night, towns in Greenland resemble Newcastle, with all the young lads, all the kids going out for their packs of beer, yeah. And you know it's the culture they have. The colder the climate is generally, the more alcohol people seem to drink, and that applies to Russia, Scandinavia, the north of England, and Greenland equally. Yeah. And there's not a lot to do. I mean, there's such a small population, just 57,000 people in the whole population of Greenland. And as you say, they rely on this huge support from Denmark. And if I was a Greenlander, I would definitely, rather than being connected to Denmark, which can barely afford to pay its way in Greenland, I'd much rather become the 51st state of the United States. And welcome in the Americans to help develop infrastructure and the economy at large, whereas Denmark really just doesn't have the financial resources or probably the interest to do that.
Yeah, but the sale's off because, like I said, the Prime Minister said no. Talking about still sort of Chinese connection there. I saw your morning note talking about gold and Hong Kong. What's the connection?
Well, we were thinking about this and discussing it in the office, and the conclusion is that if the Chinese military roll into Hong Kong and we see a repeat or something similar to the situation at Tiananmen Square, then very sadly this is going to cause a great deal of trouble with relations with China. It's probably going to have an impact on the global economy, and I think the gold price is going to go significantly higher on the back of this sort of thing. So it's not something we want to see, and we definitely don't want to see people getting killed or mass arrests or whatever goes on. But there is a heightened risk of it right now, and I think from an investor perspective, if you're concerned about global risk, the place to go is China. And somebody sent me a funny picture the other day of a hedge fund manager at his desk and a sign behind him saying, you know, hedge fund, automatic trading, all sorts of sophisticated words. And then the chap's reaching over to his phone just saying, buy gold, which at the end of the day is what they do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Russia and China have been buying record amounts of gold. And at the moment, you know what, if you look at it, it's really overbought. I was looking on a weekly chart of gold, and what's called the relative strength is very high for weekly charts. It's just cooling off at the moment. So I think it'll come back a little bit. But momentum's on its side, you know, and I think there's so many macro issues around the world at the moment that gold will go higher. And I've got a little bit of gold, not enough really. I sold my gold months ago when I didn't think anything. You know, I thought we were going into downturn. It's always hard to judge macro movements because it takes so long. But I thought we were going into downturn. I held the ETF for about 3 months, then sold off, and I sold one, which is ridiculous because now they've rallied like crazy. I tell you what, a commodity that's, you know, looking like it's worth accumulating really. That's copper. It's literally at almost a 2-year low, isn't it?
Yeah, and lots of people in the industry are looking at the copper price saying, why is it so low? Who's selling it? I always feel, well, there is always some element of manipulation in commodity markets, probably in every commodity market. I think the Chinese keep pushing the price lower. It suits them very well to do that. And it's probably quite easy for them to do it. But at the same time, at some point, the price will swing back the other way and copper producers will be making bigger margins. Now, if you're an investor in Rio Tinto or BHP, you've been making great money anyway because of the very high iron ore prices, and those iron ore prices are now coming down again. But they may be lucky in that if the copper price springs back up, but that will be great. But remember that you do need some restoration of global growth to some degree. And at the moment, the world seems to be slowing its growth with Germany heading into recession. Maybe the UK might even see a technical recession as well if there is a hard Brexit. The US is forecast to slow down a bit, but doesn't seem to be slowing down very much, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And of course, the China-US trade war is definitely slowing growth in China because they do rely on the US for an awful lot of their sales. So there's quite a lot going on in the world. The let's not forget global currencies. The Chinese have reduced the renminbi, and that means that they've got less purchasing power. In fact, the Chinese recently ban the export of, I think, most gold into China. Sorry, the import of gold into China. And so that does also have an impact. In fact, if anything, I think that served to hold gold prices back a bit.
Yeah, do you know what's interesting there? You said you're touching on almost conspiracy there, but who's selling it and the Chinese trying to hold the price of copper down. Isn't it just, though, on sentiment alone? Because we all know China's slowing down and they're having issues with the tariffs. Isn't that it, though? Isn't just literally, China, like half, they eat up half the world's commodities, and the fact that they're slowing down hits, copper a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does. And as people see that, the hedge commodity traders and hedge funds will tend to sell those metals down. At the same time, remember, China has a very substantial state strategic stockpile.
Yeah.
And that stockpile will buy and sell according to the interests of the Chinese state. So I think they are not adverse to throwing a few thousand tons into the market here and there, particularly when there are less liquid trading conditions, to move the price to suit them.
Yeah. Okay. And one other thing, talk about how the news is playing into commodities and all this stuff. You mentioned quickly before we came on about the power cut. When this happened, I was in the weekend, I was away in West Wales in a hotel, and my father just said, "Oh, that's too many people in London." I said, "Dad, it's not due to capacity. It's some issue that's happened, a short or something like that. It's an issue that's happened. It's not capacity." I mean, they are forward planning. Of course, they need to expand more than, but they haven't hit capacity now. So, was it a lightning strike or something that started it all off, wasn't it?
Well, it's a pretty sensitive issue because the national grid can get fined, I think, up to 10% of their annual revenue for this sort of event. And we don't absolutely know what the situation was. They say it was at least one or more lightning strikes. But if you remember, the wind was blowing pretty strong that weekend. Mm-hmm. And certainly on the Friday night, I think we were seeing gusts of up to 45 miles an hour. And we know that wind farms tend to turn off the windmills when there's very strong wind and if there's risk. Because if the wind is too strong and the turbine blades go around too fast, then they burn out the motors. They will burn out the generators that they have. So they tend to actually feather the blades and stop. It's just safer that way. Mm. So it was no surprise to those of us who know this. That are one of the wind farms, in the North Sea, which is a pretty windy place anyway, just had to turn itself off. And at the same time, they had a problem, I think, restarting or starting up a gas-fired generator. And they're saying that the network tripped out because of this lightning strike, which was quite close to that gas generation power station. But we thought that actually these power stations shouldn't trip out on lightning strikes, that the grid was supposed to be fairly robust against this sort of thing. So I think there is going to be quite an extensive ongoing investigation into this. But the conclusion that we come to is that the UK is going to need a lot more battery storage. If it's going to continue to turn off coal-fired power stations, then it is going to need to put more battery storage into place. And that will be lithium-ion battery storage, because that's very quick to respond within nanoseconds. But also vanadium redox batteries, which could give greater capacity and supply power for longer periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Marvellous. All right. So any individual news, John, on companies?
Yes, we had some more drilling results out of Arc Minerals. They weren't as good as the drilling results we'd seen previously, but they weren't bad either. I mean, they were still hitting decent intersections of copper, 0.6% copper over 15 meters. There was a higher section in there, 5 meters at 1% copper. They were looking fine, actually. So the share price went down. There's always been a certain amount of, shall we say, liquidity within this stock. And I think a lot of that's because some of the Zambian guys that got shares with the deal to acquire this deposit, I think that, you see, the kwacha has been very low in Zambia as a currency. And for them, the price of Arc Minerals looks fantastic. So I think they've been sellers for a while. And that's an opportunity for UK investors to pick this stock up.
Yeah. No, they did drop off yesterday, about 10%, I thought. So what's going on there? Because I saw the news come out, I saw people share it. And then I saw the share price drop off. Cool. Anything else, John?
We were looking at Keras Resources.
Yeah.
Now, Keras has a manganese project in Togo, and they're waiting for a mining license on that. But if we park that idea to one side, they also have a 34% stake in something called Calidus, which has a the Warrawoona, I did say that correctly, project in Australia. And that project's gone really well. So they're just starting up a drill campaign to hopefully show us some more value at that project. The Calidus price is about 33, 35 cents in Australia. But that represents something over 60% of the value of Keras. Now, sometime soon, and I don't know when, Keras is going to distribute those Calidus shares to its shareholders. And as I understand it, it will distribute all those Calidus shares to its shareholders, or the bulk of them. And that will be worth more than the whole value of Keras itself at this stage. So that looks really nice. As I understand it, if you buy Keras shares today, you'll be and hold that stock, you'll be eligible for the Calidus stock as well. So that's kind of a nice deal.
Yeah, sounds like it. I'll look into that. Cool. It sounds like one of those schemes that seems too good to be true, John. Anything else?
I think that's it for now. We were talking about something else. I can't remember what it was then.
Iron Ridge, you mentioned.
Yes, that was it.
Yes.
We mustn't forget them. They did some metallurgical test work on their lithium project in Ghana, and that's on the coast in Ghana. So that's pretty well located from a shipping to China perspective. Mm-hmm. So we like Iron Ridge for that. And in fact, their bulk sample that they produced was a 1.68% lithium head grade, which is really nice for a lithium project. And the metallurgical results said that they could turn that into a 6.29% spodumene concentrate, which again is a pretty good result for one of these spodumene projects. So although the lithium carbonate price is currently a bit depressed, and that's because the Australians all rushed into production, clearly in Australia, to produce for the Chinese market, we do expect the lithium price to recover to some degree, and we do see good potential for companies like Iron Ridge and Savannah to develop their projects going forward. So we think there's going to be a big enough market for kind of everybody, certainly everybody who's looking to develop projects in the near term, to get in there and get underway.
More stuff. IRR's ticker there. Just check out I'm just looking at the chart of copper. It really is low at the moment. Oh yeah, well, Iron Ridge is down at all-time lows, but it's the last couple of days, it's literally gone from it was 12 pence. Oh, it's shot up to sort of 14 pence. It's come down today, but it's gone up and come back down. But it's starting to that may be a bottom there. You know, I hate to call a bottom, but it's looking quite good there. But saying that, it's been false rallies before, so we'll have to see. It's never crossed that. It's that 200-day moving average it needs to get above. Okay, marvellous, John. Thanks for that, and we'll catch up next week, fella.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Rockrose Energy at 0.6%. At four, it's Iconic Labs up 11.7%. At three, Dev Clever Holdings up 6.1%. At two, Emotion, IMMO. Emotion Group, of course, flat at the moment. And number one most followed company is, I covered them on Sunday's podcast, Sunday's video on my YouTube channel. It's Argo Blockchain Mining. ARB is ticker there. And of course, they're very highly leveraged to the Bitcoin price. That's why I have invested in them, because I think now Bitcoin is an asset. It was a safe haven asset, which should rise, I think, when things get a bit worrisome in the markets, along with gold. It's done that in the last few months. It's rallied with gold. So I've got a bit of that, got a bit of gold. And also they announced a big RNS yesterday. Let's get the RNS's top five most liked RNS's are as follows. At five, it's Argo. New agreement signed to expand power capacity by 357%. At four, Cadence Minerals, Bacanora, lithium update on Ganfeng Investment. At three, Sirius Minerals, standard form for notification of major holdings. At two, Regal Petroleum, reserves and resources update. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Asia Met Resources, signs MOU with China non-ferrous metals. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchus. appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.